Today, we're continuing to look at what on earth are we here for? And last week, we talked about worship and how God created us and he wired us to worship. And we memorized a verse, Romans 6:13, and give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. And if you didn't get the little keychains, they're out in the foyer at the little information desk. They've got six Bible verses. We're challenging ourselves to memorize six new verses each week. Next week, the verse is Ephesians 2:19. It says, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. That's what we're talking about today, about this family of God idea. Now, how many of you have the perfect family, right? No problems, no crazy people, no... Yeah, if you raised your hand, you're the crazy person, right? Because you're just going, everything's good. Nobody obnoxious in my family. You're that one. You're that one, right? That's what my family probably says about me. Steve Tabu, you're the one. Well, it's the same way in the church family. We're not a perfect group of people in this room. If you can figure that out, it will help you so much all through life, right? And it'll help all of us learn to show grace for those around us, to give grace to others when they are in need, and to receive grace when we are in need. Today, as we talk about what we're here for, I believe God created us for relationships. He created us for this thing called fellowship, where we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. Now, initially, he's given that to us in the blood family, you know, in your physical family. But let's be honest, we live in a day that the family is struggling. We live in a day that many of us aren't that close to our families. We live in a day of, that I think we push so much individualism that we've forgotten the importance of a family. And as a church, we can be family. As a church, we can be a family that maybe other folks have never even had. We could be the encouragement, the strength, the prayer warriors, the friends for those around us. But we have to make that decision. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 3. You got your own Bibles? Go ahead and turn there. If not, you can go to the Burgundy Bible. It's on page 1032 of the Burgundy Bible. It's what I use on Sunday mornings, and it's the New Living Translation. If you don't have a Bible of your own, please take that Burgundy Bible home with you. It's our gift. We want everybody to have a Bible, okay? So, 1 John chapter 3 was written by John the Apostle. Some people called him John the Beloved. So John was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, and he was one of the three closest to Jesus. Matter of fact, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he looked at John and said, John, this is your mother Mary. Take care of her. It wasn't his mother, but he and John had become so close that he entrusted the care of his mother to John. Now, John wrote the gospel, and it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. John wrote that one. And then John, they believe he fled with the persecution around 68 to 70 AD, about 30 years after the resurrection of Christ. And he went to Turkey, most likely Ephesus. There's a church in Ephesus today that they found the ruins of. They call it the Church of St. John. And so he moved there and began to preach and teach there. And he wrote this letter to the people of Asia, to the Church of Asia, that was going through a difficult time. They'd actually had a church split somewhere. I know it's hard to believe, but it does happen from time to time. And this church had split, and there's a group called the Gnostics. And they were trying to say that you should believe in Jesus, but that doesn't have to affect your behavior. So in other words, you can believe in your mind and your heart, but you don't have to have character. You can live any way you want to live, however you want to live. It doesn't affect your behavior. And so John is writing this 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John to help them understand what Christ taught about all elements of Christianity. And the passage we're going to talk about today is about loving one another, even loving those people that disagree with you. Now, I read a story recently about a church called Left Foot Baptist Church. Anybody ever heard of Left Foot Baptist Church? It's actually in Tennessee. It did not give me the city when I read the story, but it's in Tennessee. It's called Left Foot Baptist Church. The author of the story went on a goal of trying to discover why does it have the name Left Foot Baptist Church? And he asked around and found the history of the church, and it was in a church that they did a foot washing. And they got into an argument over which foot should you wash first, the right foot or the left foot. And the people that said it was the left foot got mad at the people that said it was the right foot, and they left the church and started their own church and called it Left Foot Baptist Church. You can't make this stuff up. I'm just saying, I mean, if that's the case, we probably ought to have like Orange Carpet Methodist and Red Carpet Methodist, right? A Choir Baptist and Praise Team Baptist. I mean, why would we break unity and fellowship and love over silly things? Because we get selfish. We get selfish. I'm sure everybody in this room has battled with selfishness at some time in their life. It's a constant daily battle for me, wanting what's best for the glory of God instead of what Steve Taboo wants right now. But it's a battle that we're entrenched in, and it's a whole lot more fun to do battle together with other people. You know, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? All of us in here, we need each other to be the family of God. We need folks to lean on, and we need folks that will lean on us. We don't need to be independent as much as we need to be interdependent, doing our part, but linking arms with others to go forward together to make a difference in this world. Well, in 1 John chapter 3, this is where we're going to pick up verse 11. Here's what he says. It says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you." Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, I'm confident in this room there are people that have been hurt by the church. Someone who is a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a pastor, and said something, did something to really crush their spirit. But Lord, I pray that today, Lord, you would help all of us to look past the offenses we've received and instead, Lord, ask the question, how can we get closer to you? And how can we be a part of a family that, although it's broken, it can be beautiful? Although it's not perfect, it can be amazing. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of our hearts right now, God. As we pray, Lord, speak to each one of us as to what we need to receive from this message about loving each other. And I pray that we would take action. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got your program, go ahead and open that up. If you open up that program, there's six things on there that we're going to walk through in this passage today. The first one is, we were created to love one another. You were created to love one another. God did not make you to be an island. He made you be a part of a family, part of a team. Matter of fact, in Genesis 2:18, says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God created Adam first, and God looked and he realized, you know what? Adam needs other people. Now, God was in Adam's life, wasn't he? I mean, it says that he walked with them in the garden. That's pretty awesome. But even then, God realized that there's something unique about us as people that we need others around us. And so let me start by encouraging, we need to love one another because we need each other. We need to be able to show love to each other, and we need to be able to receive love from each other. There's times in my life that I've been really strong. There's been times in my life that I thought, man, I could walk on water, I could walk through that wall, things were going so good. And there's times in my life that I have begged God and cried out for help and mercy because I was so broken. Those times that I'm broken, I need you guys. I need those that are my friends. I call out. I'm not prideful. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the pastor that thinks he got it all figured out. I'm not the husband that thinks he's got all the answers, and I'm definitely not the dad that thinks he knows how to be a perfect parent. But I know the perfect parent. I know the King of Kings. I know the one that gives all wisdom and knowledge and love. And so in those times, I cry out to him and I cry out to my brothers and sisters to give me strength and wisdom because we're better together. We're called to be together. We're called to love one another. In this passage, it's almost funny because the example he uses is Cain and Abel. It's like, how much more of an extreme case can you have? One brother who physically killed another. I've yet to be in church where it came to that level, but I'm sad to say it's come to a lot of words and times, harshness, ugly words spoken, and I've seen people broken and hurt by church and walk out the door and say, never again. Let me tell you, if you stay in this church body, sooner or later, you're going to be offended. You will be. Because you're sitting next to somebody that's not perfect. And sooner or later, you're going to drink the last cup of coffee in the urn, and they're going to go without. It's going to be a bad day. You know, so they're going to come expecting that cup, and one day we're going to run out. Right? And they're going to be on edge. And they're going to say something about you because you have the last cup of coffee. And somehow, it's going to be a bad day. And you've got a choice. Are you going to love your brother as you'd want them to love you when you're having a bad day? Or are you going to be offended and say, well, if that's what church is about, I'm done. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to choose not to be offended. Say it out loud. I'm going to choose not to be offended. Don't you wish those that are saying that to your spouse, I want to see that happen. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why my wife, I don't sit with her in the service. It's a lot easier on me that way. No, seriously. We're all going to have those days when we're ugly. Okay? And don't you want your loved ones to show grace to you when that happens? Don't you want them to put their arm around, hey, I know you're having a bad day, but I'm not your enemy. I love you. Can I pray for you? Isn't that how you want them to respond, or you want them to be offended and go, well, that's just fine, when really it's not about them most of the time, right? Really it's about what happened to you 30 minutes earlier, which is why you're having such a bad day, and you just explode on the ones you love because they're closest to you. It's the same way in the church. Let's choose not to be offended. We're going to have different opinions on different things, right? We didn't all vote for the same person for president in this room. We didn't all, if we picked colors, we wouldn't all pick the same color. If we picked the same football team, most of you would be, you know, not a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so most of you would be wrong. And I get that. I get that. Everybody can't be right. Anyway, in all of that, we need to choose to love one another. We need to make a choice that no matter what we come up against, we're going to love one another. And that's what John's writing to him. And for those folks, and I've heard it said so many times, well, I don't have to be a part of the church or go to church to be a Christian. Well, I would say to you, you don't. But I would also disagree with that because you do have to go to church and be a part of the body of church to be an obedient Christian who walks with Christ each day. Because Christ calls us over 50 times in the New Testament to love one another or forgive one another or pray for one another or encourage one another. The one another's or the each other's in the New Testament over 50 times is called to be done within this church body. And I believe we're better together. Well, the second thing is our love for brothers and sisters in Christ proves we are saved. It's actually, John is going to say here that the way we treat each other as followers of Christ is a proof of our salvation. Here's what he says. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Woo! He calls it out, doesn't he? And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Here's what he says. If you think it's okay to harbor bitterness and anger at someone else who's a brother or sister in Christ and not deal with it and slander them, he's saying you're almost guilty of murder because you're killing them spiritually. You're killing yourself spiritually. Okay? So forgiveness, mercy, grace, easier said than done. I get it, but it's part of what we're called to be and called to do as we love one another. And it's proof of salvation. Now, this is pretty bold to actually say this is how we can know. This is how we can know that we're followers of Christ, if we truly love one another. But that's what Paul, what John says here. Now, I had an interesting conversation with somebody recently, and they were struggling. And they shared with me their struggle. They said, I'm struggling because I love coming to the river. And they said, I didn't grow up in this Christian tradition that you're in. I grew up in this other group. And they said, this other group is telling me that your group, the river, is not a true Christian church because y'all don't agree and believe the same things as the group I grew up in. She said, but when I've come to your church, and she wasn't talking about me because I just met her, and she named off like five people in our church. She said, every person I've met in the church has warmly welcomed me, has genuinely loved me, even though they know I'm not from your church or from a different background. She said, and then I go to the place that I call my church home, and she said, they spend more time judging your church and you and me, and I don't see the love in their hearts for people. And she said, so I don't really understand. I said, listen, number one, the Lord is your teacher. Appreciate the person and the church that you're in. But love of one another is a testimony that we are followers of Christ. So for those that she named, way to go, team. Way to love people. Way to reach out to somebody that you may have not even known that she was struggling with that, but you chose to love her. So way to go. And I would just say to all of us, this doesn't just apply within the church at the river. This is the big C, the big church. This applies the way we love people from different denominations. This way we applies the way we love people from Life Church, First Baptist Church, Stephen Street Baptist Church, First Methodist. We should in all things seek to show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In all things. Not to speak evil. Not to criticize. Because I believe when all the churches in Putnam County come together and we all encourage and we lock arms together and we walk forward in our faith, that the world will take note and they'll say something special is going on in Cookeville, Tennessee. The churches are getting along and they love one another. Isn't that awesome? So John is giving this challenge to us. It is a testimony of our salvation that we love one another. Now, the third thing, as Jesus gave us the example for loving the family of God. Jesus sets the perfect example, right? Says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Write this down. See a need, meet a need. Write that down. See a need, meet a need. Everybody in here can't take care of every need in the world, okay? There's a lot of great ministries in this church. There's a lot of great ministries in our town. No one person in this room can do everything. You'll burn out. But all of us are uniquely wired by God. All of us are in unique relationships with people around us. And when we see that need, it says we need to have compassion and ask how can we show God's love to them. That's the demonstration. Jesus set the example because he loved us even when we were unlovable. Even when people rejected him, he loved them. And he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Even in his greatest time of betrayal, he loved people and showed mercy and grace to those around him. So we ought to do the same. We ought to use that gift and talent. Now, I've got my little drawing board over here because here's what I believe. I believe we all need friends. Would you agree with that? Would you believe we all need friends? Okay. God created us for friendship. He did. And so Jesus modeled this for us. If Jesus is our example, he modeled this for us in the way that he lived and did ministry. Okay. So as Jesus walked the earth, he had the inner three. There are four different times in the New Testament that it talks about Jesus taking James, John, and Peter away with him, okay, for the Mount of Transfigurations, for healing, for prayer, Peter, James, and John were his inner three. Now, he also then had the 12, right? 12 disciples. And these 12 guys, the three were part of the 12, but they were really his close-knit group that he poured everything into. I believe everybody in here needs your three and your 12. You need three men or women in your life that they love you enough to speak truth into your life when you need to hear it. That they love you enough that when you're being a jerk to your spouse, they pull you aside and say, hey, you know, I know you thought that was funny to make fun of your wife's cooking and all, but I saw her eyes drop and I saw the brokenness on her face. I just love you enough, brother, to tell you, I think you need to build your wife up. Besides, if you don't, next meal might have arsenic in it, you know, right? We need those friends that love us enough to tell us the truth. And those are the kind of friends that you share prayer requests with, and they don't just pray for it, they mourn with you. You know what I mean? It's like they carry that same burden. Now, you can't have that level of friendship with everybody in the world. You can't. It's ineffective. You can't do it. But you need that group, okay? And then you step out to the 12. Jesus poured his life into the 12. They poured their lives into Christ. They weren't quite as close as the three, but one of them betrayed Jesus. And just so you know, a part of friendship is betrayal. Can I get an amen? Okay? Listen, if you're going to risk being a friend, you're going to risk being betrayed. If you're going to risk loving people deeply, you're going to risk getting hurt. It will happen. If it happened to Jesus, who is the perfect friend, why in the world would you think it wouldn't happen to you? Right? So it will happen. And I hate to, I hope I don't rain on your parade, but I don't want to sell you a bunch of goods that aren't true. Friendship, godly friendship even, people still sin and people still get hurt. Now, we've got a choice. When that happens, we can choose to be offended or choose not to be offended. I want to choose not to be offended and to take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't like this. I you could be like Peter, James, and John, or James and John one time when Jesus was having some issues with people. They said, you want us to call down fire from heaven and kill them all? It's like, now that's a good friend. They got your back, right? But I love that passage. Anyway, you need those kind of friends, right? Okay, so you got the three, then you got the 12, then you had the 72. I think it's in Luke 10. He sent out 72, two by two, to different towns. So these were people that were on mission with him. And so they're on mission to reach the world. And then you have the 3,000 that got saved right after the resurrection of Jesus. And then you have the 5,000 that got fed multiple times, and which really represents the world. And the world is what's in need, and we're called as a small team to make a difference in the world, okay? Now, do you have this in your friendships? Because if you don't, you need this. I believe the family of God, the church, is designed for this purpose. So that together we link arms, and together we can change this world for good, for the glory of God. Now, if you want to know how to get crushed as a follower of Christ, what you do is you pull yourself out of this group and you say, I'm going to be the Lone Ranger Christian and I can handle this Christian thing by myself. Oh, how many times people have said, I don't need the church to be a Christian. How many times they said, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I agree, yes, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But if you're a follower of Christ, you have to be loving one another and be in the church in order to complete the New Testament. Over 50 times in the New Testament says love one another, forgive one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. So this Lone Ranger Christian is not a reality. All this is, this then makes you the target for the devil. The Bible says the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Guess who lions attack? The ones that are outside the pack, right? I got a chance. I got a picture here. I got to go to Kenya this last year on a mission trip. And after the mission trip was over, the last day we went on one of those day and a half safari things. You drive through this beautiful place. I was just floored by the fact that literally as you drive, there'll be 20 elephants over here. You drive a little farther, there's a lion hanging out over here. You get to watch the lion as they attack the different animals. It was truly like you're living Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom in real life. Okay, y'all remember that show where Jim always got beat up? And yeah, anyway. Okay, so this is the thing we traveled in. And my question was, shouldn't you have like some kind of protection between you and the lion? You know, because we would drive up, and if this is the side of that, I'm telling you, 10 feet, 15 feet away is the lion. And so I asked the crazy question, shouldn't we have some kind of protection? They said, oh no, the lions see this like as an elephant, something much larger than themselves. And so there's no, you don't have to worry. They won't attack because they feel like, you know, it's not a prey. It's bigger than they are. So the only thing you have to worry about is when you get out of the truck. So just don't ever get out of the truck, right? So we pull up, and I got a picture of this lioness here. It was only about 10 feet away from us. I'm in the front of the thing trying to take a picture. He's just laying there all happy. And I go to take the picture, and as I do, I pull my other arm up to take a good one, and I slipped. About that time, I go to fall out of the truck. I catch myself with my foot, and this is what happened. That lion has jumped up, roared at us. The eyes, I don't know how he did that. That was crazy. He does that number. There wasn't a dry seat in our truck, I'm just telling you. And I'll show you that this was the next picture I took. Yeah, the ceiling. I'm like, help me, Jesus. After we get back, they tell us a story. And I mean, because it was the talk of the trip. It's like, oh yeah, Taboo almost got us all eaten by a lion. Way to go, buddy. And I was real popular at that time. And we get back, and the guy says, oh, did we tell you the story? I said, what story? He said, last year on one of the safaris, a lady got out of the truck and she got mauled to death. Yeah, I was like, good time to tell us. Thank you. I mean, you said don't get out of the truck. You didn't say if you get out of the truck, you'd be mauled to death. A little bit different. Here's what I would say. That lion, if I had gotten out, would have seen me as a threat. Would have seen me as easy prey because I'm this little guy here and they're a lion. The devil's the same way. When you step out of the fellowship of the family of God, you're opening yourself up to be attacked because you're the Lone Ranger and you got nobody to get your back. We need the family of God. That's what he's telling us here. We need it. Jesus set the example. He set the example for how to have friends, how to pour into people. We need one another. Fourth thing, show your faith by your actions. By your actions. Verse 18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our, what's that word? Actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. So by our actions, we demonstrate this love. See a need, meet a need. Do you have a friend going through a divorce? How can you encourage them? Do you have someone who's recently lost a husband, a wife, a child, a job? How can you be there for them? Do you have someone who's going through surgery? Someone that you know? How can you pray for them? How can you let them know that you care? Do you have someone, a coworker, just seems to be going in a downward spiral? What can you do to let them know that you're there? What about in church? You don't just come to church, folks. We're called to be the church. We're called to be a family that cares, that loves one another, that really is seeing the need and meeting the need with one another. So we need to show that by our action. Purposeful acts of kindness. How can you do that this week? How can you find others this week to encourage? I've got a letter here from someone in our church that recently went through a bad time. She wrote this letter. She said, my husband and I would like to thank the River Church for everything they've helped us with and for being with us through this. We felt more love than ever. We are beyond thankful. This church is a family to us, and we would like to think And she names individuals. I'm not going to name the individuals, but I'd like to thank this lady for helping me when everything went wrong and everything else she's done. We also want to thank all those who helped bring meals to our family in our difficult time. And I'd like to thank my great friends as well within the church and my family for being there and helping me during the labor and delivery of my boys and continue to be there for me every day. Love you all, and it means more than you'll ever know. We are beyond thankful. Thanks for all your thoughts and prayers. What if people hadn't reached out to show love? What if she had had to carry those burdens by herself? What if you had said, you know what, we're just too busy to make that phone call and we're too busy to bring a meal? What if she had had to walk through that journey by herself instead of with the family of God? God would have still been there with her, right? Lord says he'll never leave us or forsake us, but somehow when we show up on the scene, we put skin in the game. We show up on the scene and we get to be the hands and feet and the voice and the hugs of our Savior. It's a privilege that we have, that we get to be a part of. He calls us to. And what happens when that doesn't happen? We get discouraged, right? Have you ever been through a trial and you had poured into other people and then you went through a tough time and nobody was there for you? Man, it stinks. And here's what I'd say. The closer and the tighter you are here, the less that will ever happen. The more real you are here. Listen, don't wait to share with those close to you when you're getting a divorce. Share with them when you're struggling in your marriage. Don't wait to share with people when you said, you know what, I'm done with God, I'm done with church. Share with them when you start having the hard questions and ask them to pray with you. That's what family's for. That's what we're called to be there for. So show others with our actions. And fifth, our love for one another brings answered prayers. Now this is interesting. I hadn't seen this angle before until I read this passage to get this message ready. Here's what he says in verse 21 and 22. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. Well, why would we feel guilty? Because the passage before talks about when we don't love one another. So what he's saying is the way you treat those around you, the way you treat your brothers and sisters, it affects your heavenly relationship. Your earthly relationships here with other people affect your relationship with God the Creator. So you and I, we need to make sure that our relationships here on earth are in the right place. Now you can't make somebody forgive you. I had somebody, I hurt their feelings. I asked for forgiveness. I wrote them a letter. And they didn't talk to me for 19 years. 19 years. All those 19 years, I wanted to improve that relationship. I wanted us to have a conversation. They wouldn't talk to me. And it wasn't until a tragic illness that we basically got stuck together where they had no choice. And we finally got to talk. And once again, the Holy Spirit said, you need to ask for forgiveness. I'm like, I already done it, ain't doing it again. You ever been that way? It's like, I am not being the bigger man this time. Been there, done that, it's their turn. And of course, the Holy Spirit then says, I'm calling you to show love, forgiveness, and mercy. And it was hard, but I chose to. And now the Lord has rebuilt that relationship. As you build relationships with others, sometimes it's really hard. And you can't change the other person. You can't make them like you. You can't make them forgive you. You can't make them want to be your best friend. But you can do what's right on your side. Ask forgiveness for your part and give them grace on their part and move on. Our love for one another affects our prayers. And last thing, belief in Jesus and loving one another bring us in fellowship with God. Here's what he says in the last two verses I got, 23 and 24. He says, and this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So he gives two things. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's command remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the spirit he gave us lives in us. Goes back to when Jesus was asked what the most important commands are. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, you need friendships. God created you with a need for family and friends. It's not always easy, but it's always good. It's always what is best for you and for those around you to love others with the love that Jesus has shown us. Choosing him as our example and loving others even when it's at its hardest. Well, I want to ask you to bow your head with me. I believe in this room today that we're all in different places. I believe everybody is on a spiritual journey whether you're even a Christian or not. I believe God is constantly drawing us to his love. But I want to start with those folks that know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to start and I want to ask you, are there any broken relationships in the family of God that you have chosen to draw a wall up and to not deal with? You haven't asked forgiveness. They haven't asked forgiveness. I want to challenge you today to be the one that says, I want to ask forgiveness. I want to show love. I want to break down a wall. You know if that's you, God's speaking to your heart right now. He's brought somebody to your mind. And taking action is going to be hard, so you need to go to those close couple of people and those three, ask them to pray for you for wisdom and how to do it. Second group, you're here. You've been coming. You believe in God. You've given your life to Jesus, but you're kind of on the fringes. You're that family member that only shows up for Christmas and New Year's or whatever. You know, you're the family member that, yeah, you know your family, but you just never feel like you're in. I want to invite you to jump in today with both feet. I want to invite you to say, you know what? For whatever it's worth, I'm going to do all I can to build new friendships in this family of God. I'm going to find that 3 and that 12. And I'm going to risk being hurt. And I'm going to love as Jesus loved me. And I believe that there are some here today that, man, you are in love with Jesus and you're growing and you've got that 3 and that 12 and you're enjoying the fruit of that. I would encourage you to look around for those around you that don't have that. Invite them into your 12. Invite them into your 70. Ask them one more time. And then I believe that there are those here today that you believe in God, maybe, and you're here, but you've never said to Jesus, Jesus, I give you everything. You've never fully surrendered, maybe out of pride, maybe out of fear, maybe out of lack of knowledge. But perhaps this morning God is saying to you, today is your day to become a part of the family of God. If he's saying that to you this morning, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord, committing your life to him as your father and you as his child. Pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear God, today I give you my life. I want to be adopted as your child. Please forgive me for the times I rejected you and did not show love. Today I invite Jesus to be my Savior and King. I pray all this in his name. Amen.